Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have another amazing show for you today. I have five new guests, five new people to introduce you to, and we were talking backstage. We already have some great chemistry, learned a lot about these five people, and I am sure you are going to learn as well. But before I go ahead and introduce my guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. I don't know if you get tired or not of asking or me asking you, but I love it when you go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. We want your friends to have all the information that we are sharing this morning, and we definitely don't want your friends mad at you. So while you're sharing this show, I'm going to introduce our first guest, and you may recognize her name, you may recognize her business, you may recognize her voice or her personality. I enjoy having her on the show before. Tracy Lamoury of Lamoury PR is going to talk to us about her upcoming book. Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me on. Oh, you are welcome. I'm excellent. I'm excited to have you here. The last time you were here, we met two of your clients, and they were both different. One was the cousin of Rosa Parks. That blew me away. And then the other one was a 13-year-old girl who made national news because she created a song, wrote the song herself, sang the song herself about Black Lives Matter. And I remember thinking, Tracy has the most interesting people. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Tracy, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm Tracy Lamoury, Lamoury Media. I work with clients across industries, from entertainment to business to I've done work in government, though I try to avoid that these days because, you know, the closer you get, the more heartbreaking it can be. I work with clients across industries. My work is basically to elevate important messages. You mentioned two of the ones I'm really proud of there, Rosa Parks' cousin, Angela Sadler Williamson, professor who has a new book out now that the synergy is amazing with my other client, because she's actually, her book is about inspiring kids to activism. And as you mentioned, I have the 13-year-old Canadian who's going to be on TV in Australia next week. So she's now making international news with that message. So that's the kind of work I'm really proud of. I came into this, you know, as an activist and an advocate. I wrote my first press release to help get an innocent guy off death row. It took 18 years and a lot of lawyers, but he was actually released in 2017. And somewhere along the line there, I realized how good I was at getting media messaging out and decided to turn it into a profession, put my shingle out as a freelancer in those days. And then 5 years ago, started my company as a general partnership. And then we just recently incorporated. So it's now Lamoury Media Inc. And since then we've worked with clients again, you know, across industries, high profile, small business, everything. And I'm really proud of the fact that I built this myself. I never went to school for it or anything. I just, you know, figured out what public relations should be. And now I do it. I never bought any advertising. All my work is word of mouth. And so I'm pretty proud of what I've built, and even more proud of the voices I'm able to elevate. Two of them are here with us again today, two other ones. So.
Oh, wonderful. We're going to come back and talk about your book so people can learn more. But why don't you go ahead and co-host a little bit for me today? Why don't you go ahead and introduce your first client?
Okay, well, I'm just by order of who I see in the screen here. I see Professor Paul Kotz, and he's the author of two amazing books, and really timely right now. One of them is called Profiles in Kindness. And when we first met about 2 months ago, you know, the world was just, it was, I think, somewhere between COVID and Black Lives Matter, you know, being taken over. And the world just, you know, we were all just need a bit of love and kindness and unity. And so his book really struck me, and it's a series of tales, and I'm, you know, I'll let him take it from there. But that's Paul. And then Sir Sanju is the other gentleman. I don't know if you want to introduce one at a time.
Yes, let's talk to Paul for a moment. Good morning, Paul. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sharifa. Thanks for having me on your show. Tracy, it's always good to see you. I thought this was your own gig today, which is great. I came out of the corporate world years ago, but I've been an educator for now 27 plus years. But I teach ethics, and I'm not always the best candidate because I teach people all the mistakes that I've made, and then hopefully they can learn from them. I teach a course called Organizational Effectiveness. So how companies and schools run and how we could make some better decisions based on not just my ideas, but based on experts that we bring into the classroom as well. But we're in a kind of a trying time. But one reason I did come on the show, as Tracy mentioned, is I love to write and I love to capture what I see on a day-to-day basis. And I think that, you know, you can find a lot of good in just everyday occurrences. You know, you don't have to do anything so magnificent or big, if you may. But a lot of times it's just about, you know, seeing the good in just everyday actions. And so I try to capture that in writing. And I'll leave it at that.
You can't leave it at that. You came to the show so I can ask all my nosy questions. That's what I do.
You can.
Like, I got to get all in your business. I got to see what's going on with you.
You can get in my business. There's a lot I could say, but I thought I'd hold off. It's that Minnesota nice thing. We have to know when to be quiet.
Okay. Well, we're in Cali.
We'll kick in.
I have a problem with that.
So, Paul, see, one of the things that I find so interesting about people when they come on the show is they share their business, they share their experience, but I want to get to the why and why they're so passionate about those things. So one of the things that I read about you and one of the things that you mentioned is those everyday occurrences. What are some of the everyday occurrences that you've experienced that made you so passionate about sharing this with the world?
Well, I'll just give you one that just happened to me. I take the dog for a walk and we go a couple miles and that helps clear my head. I had I was in this park that's near us and I saw a young man, he's probably no more than like 22, 23 years of age. And he's sitting on the park bench and I just said, "Hey, good morning. How you doing, man?" And he says, "I'm all right." He says, "You know, nice day we're having, you know, a small talk." And all of a sudden we're making the turn and I'm ready to go. And he says, "Say, do you have anybody that's my age that I could meet?" And I thought it was kind of taken aback because he doesn't really know me that well, but he was really feeling a sense of, forlornness or maybe loneliness. At first I was kind of like, you know, you gotta be a little cautious about a guy like that at first, but you know what? In this day of the COVID-19 and the pandemic that we're in, and a lot of the other issues we're running into. I'm in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where we lost George Floyd. George Floyd is within a mile of where I work in downtown Minneapolis, but I live in St. Paul. So I'm in tune with what's going on. There's a lot I can learn. I've got a lot of white privilege that I've been dealing with and have been blessed with. But I saw this young guy and I turned around and I said, "You know," I said, "my daughters are a little bit older now. They're in their 30s and married off." I said, "But you know," I sat and talked with him for a while, and he just needed somebody to process that he was relevant, that he had something to offer. And so, you know, we talked for, I'm going to say, a good 20 minutes. It felt like a half hour or so, but point is, it was just to connect with another human being. And I got to tell you, as some of you have acknowledged, you know, being closed in like this, after a while, you're like, wow, there are people out there. When you see them, I've seen even people like walk past you briskly because they don't want to get the virus, or they're feeling kind of shy because now this is the new normal. So yes, for me, that was important to just connect. But in the book, I talk a lot, both books, I talk a lot about things that I've run into where maybe you've seen a point of adversity. How do you turn it into something positive? And I can't say I was always like that. In my 20s and 30s, I was still trying to be relevant myself. Now I'm more reflective. And that's why it was neat to see what the panel's doing, because we do have kind of a very diverse panel and backgrounds. So.
But it's interesting. It's very interesting what you had to share. And now I'm curious, like, did you find the man a girl? Like, what happened with this young man?
Well, that was kind of the awkward thing, you know, because I almost felt like he wanted me to set him up with one of my daughters. No, I couldn't do that. But, you know, he was just saying that it's really hard to meet people nowadays. And with his family structure, they were trying to keep him in. Yet he, you know, he lives his own life. So he decided to come down to the park. And hopefully there was a party that was going to be starting, because I was out there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and something was kicking into gear, I think, around 5 or 6. But yeah, I think it was more just being For me, it was just being present, Sharifa and others, versus like telling him what to do. Because that's one thing I've learned. I don't have all the answers.
Nobody does. But it's interesting that you mentioned having white privilege. You know, that's the reason why I launched my third talk show, which is called Face to Face, where we sit down and we discuss race relations with a lot of different people, different races, because I love having this conversation. Some people believe in white privilege. Some people think it's a myth that doesn't exist. But I don't want to discuss it on a roundtable talk show because I don't want people who come on to talk about their book or their music to feel that they're in a position that's awkward for them. So I definitely want to talk further, maybe get you on Face to Face, and we'll entertain that conversation at a later time. But I definitely have more questions for you. I need to go back to my co-host in the studio right now. Tracy, who do we have next?
My co-host. If we're looking at my client, my other client that's joining us today is Sir Sanju Ganglani. And we didn't put it in his bio, but it's also very important to mention that he's actually been knighted by, I'd love him to talk a little bit more about that. Sanju, could you start with that and then go into the business stuff? Because that's pretty epic stuff.
Sure. As part of my organization, part of the company, we do a lot of philanthropy, we do a lot of community work, especially with women and people who don't necessarily get the opportunities that they deserve. So last year, I was actually blessed to be knighted by an order out in Poland for all the work that we've done with women to kind of get them into corporate roles, help them grow themselves personally. And then all the work that we do in the community across, you know, we don't focus on one, type of race or gender or anything. We kind of are out there helping everyone from students right up to, you know, executives who've lost their job and sometimes, you know, lost their purpose and kind of helping them get reconnected. We also have been working with a lot of people who've lost their jobs recently and helping them get, you know, rebranded, helping them get, even as simple thing as, you know, getting them the right clothes that they need to get into those interviews. And helping them through that process. Another key piece that we work with on the philanthropy side is we work with a lot of new immigrants that come into the country as well. And, you know, you have a lot of, it's unfortunate, we have a lot of people who are doctors and surgeons and, you know, really, really well-respected in the communities back home, but come here and have to, unfortunately, drive a cab, work at McDonald's, whatever it is, just to get their foot in the door. And unfortunately, as you can imagine, that messes with your mind a little bit, right? You kind of lose that respect for yourself, and you start to question your decision when really you've kind of lose sight of the reason why you did that, which was probably for your family or your kids or whatever it was to give them that better future. So it's been something very dear to my heart. It's something I've always done since I was probably 16, 17. We've always been involved in something to do with the community. My parents are also very, and I think I get it from them, where they were also very involved in the community and you know, making sure that we were helping people and just whatever we can do. And that's sort of translated nicely into my business where, you know, with the way we operate things is we're very client focused. So it's client first, client focused. So I do run a digital marketing agency. We do have offices across the world. We have clients as far as Africa, but I've never advertised a day in my life. And we were kind of one of those agencies that if you know us, you know us. And if you don't, there's a reason why, right? And I don't say that from a place of ego. It's literally, we're very selective with who we work with because we want to make sure that we're going to deliver what we talk about. And as you all know on this panel, reputation is everything, right? And all it takes is one person to, you know, that you do something wrong with and the whole city knows about it, whether you think they do or not. So, so we've been running that for about 10 years now. I actually started my first company when I was 14. It was a web development company. And I used to take my dad and my brother with me everywhere because obviously no one would talk to the kid. But it was a lot of fun, right? And I learned a lot of things out of that. You know, as simple things as how important spelling is, right? You're doing a presentation to a client. And I remember I lost a huge contract because I misspelled a word in the PowerPoint presentation. And he's like, if you miss that detail, how can I expect you to take care of my business online, right? So there's little cool life lessons that we've come across and we've learned from that have really shaped and put this business the way it is today. I'm also very fortunate that my wife works with me as well. So she's, you know, my partner in it, and she helps. She's very healthcare focused, so it's great. We kind of help cover that side of it. And her, about 4 years ago, she won a Philanthropist of the Year award, which is really neat.
Oh,
as
wow.
Well.
So congratulations.
Thank you. So it's really nice to, you know, as much as we don't expect it or need it, you know, it's nice to get that recognition and know that what you're doing is validated and important to the community around you.
Well, that was beautiful. Welcome, Sanju, or Sir Sanju. I almost had to write down all my questions because I have a million questions. I'm going to start with my first question on the list is, where do I get one of those paintings behind you? Like, that's so question number one.
This is a local artist. His name is Miles. I'll tag him in this video. He's absolutely amazing. So he does custom work. If you actually look at the detail, the snake is actually made out of reflectors. Mm. So it's my three favorite things. It's Versace, Gucci, and my brand. So you'll see the and sign over there in the sparkles, the logo. You'll see the Medusa, which has texture to it with the spikes and all coming out of it. And then you have the king snake with the reflectors on it. And Massimo there's a few pieces in the office that he's done for us. And he's just honestly the coolest person I've ever met in my life.
I thought that was me. I thought I held that title. Oh,
you're the coolest person in LA. He's the coolest person in Toronto. How about that?
I'll share. I learned how to share back when I was a kid. They taught me that. Okay, so that was question number one. And question number two is going to show how naive I am about these things. But I've never actually met a real knight. So what does that entitle to you two? Like, do you get a key to the city? Do you get, you know, a store?
I can't tell you about it.
You can't tell me. You can't talk about it. You tell me. You have to kill me. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's really cool. So since it's pretty recent, there haven't been with COVID or any events that have really gone on. But, you know, we do have the cape and everything. It's kind of cool. You feel a gangster and cultish, but hey. And, you know, so there are events that do go on. We do, you know, kind of convene and talk about ideas and see, you know, find different ways to help progress within the communities.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Now, what was interesting to me is, you know, you're a knight, Sir Sanju. You come across as very philanthropic, but yet, not to say it's anything wrong with it, you went into digital marketing. Why digital marketing?
So I went to, after I kind of went to school and all that stuff, I started working for big corporates. I worked for NCR, I worked for Microsoft, I worked for Dell. And I realized that what they were actually, no offense anyone, but what they were actually doing wasn't working. And it wasn't working because they were looking at it from the perspective of their business, and they were always in catch-up mode. And there was this huge gap in the market where no one was actually planning ahead of schedule and looking at marketing endeavors. And there was this portion of it which was, hey, I need help. Here's an 80-page document. See you later. And versus it's like, okay, what do I do with this? And there was no one actually filling the other side of it. So we were able to kind of do the consulting, provide the recommendations, but then actually provide a whole team behind it to actually execute on that plan. And there was, you know, back then there was a whole missed opportunity because no one else was doing that. It's either I was a web guy or I was a consultant or I was no one was doing it all in-house. We've been blessed that we've been able to bring everything into in-house. We do it all locally, so it's not offshore. It's not, you know, quality is always impeccable. If people need changes done, it's done like that. And we're able to provide a full experience that extends right into their business now, right? How are you talking to customers or patients? How are you, you know, driving that recurring revenue? How are you planning for the next two quarters so that you make sure that what we did this quarter, if it didn't work, how are we going to change and pivot? So it's a lot of handholding, I guess, and it's a lot of making people understand that we actually treat their business like it's ours, right? Because obviously, if they're going to fail, we're going to fail, and that's not cool for anyone.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just very interesting when we think of nonprofit organizations. You know, that's what we kind of lead towards when we think of philanthropy. We think about helping people, that it has to be a nonprofit. But I think, you know, and one of the reasons I'm passionate about politics is because we forget that small businesses are the heart of America. You know, and so we can, you know, meditate on it, and we can do so many different things, and we can have that feel good feeling. But until we do something to actually help small businesses, then we're, to me, in my little humble opinion, then we're not doing the most that we can to help the community and the people.
So what's very cool about that is because we work with select clients is we actually are able to, we help a lot of people who have ideas. Mm-hmm. We actually fund their marketing in full until they get off their feet. So okay, we'll help
where do
them
I sign up?
Brand.
Where do I sign
we get them
up?
Brand. Yeah, we work with them, get them online. We help them pick their steps. We give them their business cards. We kind of put them into the world. And, you know, every few months we'll put out an ad or whatever it is and say, hey, if you have an idea and you want to take it to market, come talk to us. And if it makes logical sense, you know, we'll partner with you and we'll help you take it there.
Okay, well, I got a list of things that I need. We're going to partner
with
me. Of my ideas that I'm ready to take to market. You have been wonderful. Stay right where you are, Sir Sanju. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Bring him into the conversation, Mr. Steve Churchian. He has been so patient waiting this morning, and he's going to talk to us about cybersecurity. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
I'm not a knight. I've never written a book. I think I'm on the wrong show. I think I'm going to kind of step out of here and let you guys do your thing. No, I'm glad to be here. No, I've been in the I've been in the cybersecurity business for over 20 years. This is something I'm very, very passionate about. And people oftentimes ask me, how did you get into this business? And the answer I commonly give is, the best criminals make the best cops, right? And we'll leave it at that. So it's something being on this side of the law.
Yeah. I just heard Catch Me If You Can. That's what I heard. That was my favorite movie. I said, ooh, Steve.
You've got to know their tactics. You've got to know what to look out for. So I have the pleasure of being the Chief Information Security Officer at Zypro, which is a global cybersecurity company. Most of our customers are brands you're going to recognize. If you pull out your wallet and take a look at the logos in your wallet, most of those are our customers. The shops you're going to go to on the weekend to do your home improvement projects or pick up a bottle of shampoo or do your pick up your groceries. Those are all our customers. So those are the types of security that our company provides. We're headquartered in Simi Valley, which is just outside of Los Angeles. We were talking about it earlier, where we've been waking up to cloudy mornings this past week or so. So it's been quite pleasant. We haven't had the 100 degree weather that the rest of the country has been dealing with. So I'm quite enjoying the weather out here today. We do a lot of advising and advocating in terms of educating the public on general cybersecurity best practices and your data privacy issues and how your information is being used. You know, you like to inherently believe that people are good. People are good out there. But for everybody that's good, just know that there's somebody bad looking to take advantage of somebody that's good. And a lot of our work in the background is identifying those bad guys, trying to catch those bad guys. Because this COVID situation has really elevated the threat these bad guys provide. They're taking advantage of everybody's good nature. You know, everybody's at home. Everybody's lost the comfort of the office and their day-to-day routines. And now the bad guys do this as prey, easy prey. How can I target them? How can I target them with new scams that they're going to fall for? So I do write quite a few articles, do quite a bit of interviews, do a lot of talking on this subject, just educating folks on what they're understanding, how their data can be used, how they can secure themselves, their family, their work, their children, who are also schooling from home, which is going to be the new normal going forward for at least the next however many months. So it's something I'm very, very passionate about, and I'm going to enjoy talking to you guys about.
I can see your passion, and I think if I took a vote on the panel on whether or not you deserve to be on the show, I think we would all agree that you have earned your seat and your spot. I want to hear more. I want to hear more about some of the things consumers should know about being safe.
Yeah, it's interesting, because one of the things that we don't think about is now almost everybody's working from home. So you've got multiple spouses working from home. You've got children that are trying to go to school from home. And in most cases, you're not going to have the equipment necessary for everybody to do their work. So I know a lot of people who will let their kids use their work computer to get on and play games. One thing I hear quite often from my six-year-old is, Dad, I'm bored. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? She's already watched everything on Disney Plus twice. Everything on Netflix. She knows that she's seen everything on YouTube. She's made her own videos. Everything's done. So most of us will kind of get tired of the I'm bored comment over and over and over. So a lot of people will let their children use their work computer to play games. One of the things I do try to advise everybody is when you start download, when your kids start using your work computer to download games and download free things that are out there, just know that nothing is for free. Nothing is free. Either you're giving away your information to be used in a way that you're not intending it for it to be used, or you're downloading something that could put your entire network or your entire computer at risk of compromise, whether they're stealing credit card information or personal documents you've got on your computer, pictures, that. But there's a lot of bad people out there looking to take advantage of the situation.
So the answer is don't let your six-year-old use your work computer.
Don't let your, if it's your work computer, keep it as your work computer. You know, if you, even if you have to go out there and there's a lot of school districts right now that are offering free computers for folks that don't have computers. So take a look at that, take advantage of that. If you're working from home, especially if your job requires you to have a computer, don't let your children use your work computer for to play games and do what they do.
That is good to know. I hadn't even thought about that. I always think more about cybersecurity in my little world of online shopping. Like, I am an online shopper. The FedEx, the UPS, the Amazon people are here all the time. So I always think about that in my mind when I'm about to make a purchase online. Are there things, aside from the security key, you know, that's there, are there some things that people should look for or take into account when making purchases online?
Yeah, whenever reputable sites for the most part are safe. But there's a lot of websites that you'll see advertised on either Etsy or Instagram or TikTok now is huge on advertising third party products on all these various websites. You've got to be careful on what website you're being diverted to purchase the product. Make sure it's legitimate. Make sure it's a brand you recognize. Make sure when you look at the URL across the top, make sure it's got an HTTPS and a lock next to it. And just make sure that it is the website that you're intending to go. Make sure it's not a misspelling of a commonly known company or website. You know, you'll often see Microsoft, for example, you'll often see that spelled in a different way, two letters kind of transversed. To make you feel like you're going to an actual website where instead it's some Russian hacker's website out in who knows where trying to steal your credit card information or asking you to log into your email in a fake website and go in, put your username and password, and now they've compromised your email account, which means they've compromised everything, probably your entire digital life at that point. So just be more aware, be more conscious of what it is, what websites you're actually purchasing things from. Make sure that whenever you put any piece of information that the target you're putting it on is the right one.
Yes, those are things that we definitely want to keep in mind. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Our next guest is amazing. He's an amazing person that I've known for years. He's always here to support me in all of my ventures. One of the first people to go ahead and pick up a copy of my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You. But the reason I wanted to introduce you to my next guest is because he has an amazing, amazing, amazing story. He is a rap artist who's going to talk to you a little bit about his rap career, but I want to hear more about the story about why he decided after being over 40, which some consider an old head, to start a rap career. I want to introduce Mr. Doja. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, I want to thank all of you guys for sharing your stories because I'm intrigued. Sorry, just the whole situation is just, I'm just, okay. You now have new followers on social media. So.
That was the point. That was the key.
Yeah, so I'm just like in awe. If I could jaw drop, if it wasn't live, my jaw would be down. Yeah. Sir Sanju, salute, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I've been doing music since the late 80s is when I started. My older brother was a DJ turned rapper, and then, really started getting a name for himself locally or whatnot. So he took me under his wing, and, you know, we started doing that then. Unfortunately, in 94, he was murdered. And
wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
And it actually happened... that Monday, we were supposed to go sign a record contract and start recording and everything. That Saturday, we were supposed to go to my sister's house but it got really late. So he was like, we'll just go tomorrow and then we'll leave from there and go do our music thing. And then I get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning that, you know, he was shot and, you know, he succumbed to his injury. So at that point I was, you know, done with pretty much, that was my best friend. So I was pretty much done with everything. I was like, this is, you know, his dream. I was just along for the ride. So I'm just going to, you know, do something else. So then I, you know, pretty much just dove into the corporate world. I was in the rental car industry for over 20 years. I was a travel agent with my BFF here for a few years. So I kind of enveloped myself and my family and work. I mean, I was working 2 and 3 jobs at one time just to just keep doing something. In 2007, while working in rental car, I met a guy who was Steven Seagal's bodyguard.
Oh, wow.
And we started, you know, we built a friendship. He said, hey, you know, he was from Canada. He's from Vancouver, Canada. And he said, my brother does music in Vancouver. He's coming down here. I would love for you to meet him, because we had that conversation about me used to do music. So we met and we kind of both looked at each other like, yeah, you do music, you know, because that was kind of the thing in California. Everybody does music, regardless of where you're from or what you do. Everybody does music. So we built a rapport. We started working together. Me not knowing or having that knowledge of the industry kind of shot myself in the foot on a couple of decisions I made, and that relationship, business relationship, fell apart, but we're still friends to this day. I have a long-term friend I've known my whole life out of North Carolina by way of Alabama, who's a college professor. He's actually a college professor at Yale right now. His name is Thomas Easley. He started doing music about 11, 12 years ago. And I knew about it, but I never mentioned that I did music until last year. We had a conversation on a project he had just released. And, you know, I was telling one of my favorite songs on there. And then I kind of was, you know, dove into the part of me actually used to do music. And he offered me to sign with his label. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So, and knowing my story and whatnot. So I did my first single, which was Old Head, that came out last April.
Very cool.
Did my first video beginning of this year, in January of this year, for the same song. And then I have a song dedicated to my brother called Fast Lane. It kind of tells a story of us as kids. And then the year that he passed away tells that whole story. And I did a video for that song as well. And then released my actually debut album in May of this year, May 30th of this year.
Congrats. That's awesome.
So thank you. So
congratulations.
Push for the album was, you know, this is for Jimmy. My brother's name is Jimmy. So the reason for me doing what I'm doing is because it was his dream, which became my dream, because he has kids that he has an older daughter who I believe she was 7 when he passed. He had a 2-year-old son at the time and his wife was pregnant. So I have a niece and 2 nephews who don't know their dad's story.
Mm.
So in some ways I channeled his chi mojo or whatnot to get through this. I call myself the golden era MC because my style is 80s, 90s, because that's the era that I came from. And I believe that with all music, it can live on if the pioneers from our original era of different genres continue to do what they're doing. I had an issue at first because of my age. I'm 45. So when I first started doing this, I was 43, 44. It was an issue at first because of my age. You know, it's a young man's game is what I was always hearing. But at the same time, I'm like, if Aerosmith can still be performing and making music, if Kiss can still be performing and making music, why can't I keep performing and making music? So,
because you have been doing an excellent job. You've been doing an excellent job.
Thank you so much.
And you know, not to focus on the numbers. I didn't bring you here specifically to focus on the numbers, but let's talk to some about some of the numbers that you had as far as the plays or the downloads of your album.
Now, and again, it's a milestone for me because I've never been this far in the industry at all, and all, you know, all the years of doing what I do. But currently on Spotify, I have over 1,500 streams of my album. Mm-hmm. I have I don't have the exact numbers on the actual digital downloads, but I know Apple Music and Google Play and Amazon both. I have a lot of sales for the album on there. It's not enough to pay my mortgage, but you know, I can say I've sold an album.
No, but that's important, because the reason I wanted to ask that question and focus on that, because when you were speaking, you know, I always get little keywords and buzzwords that stand out to me, and everything that you heard, what I heard was that tomorrow is not promised. Yes. Everything you said, tomorrow is not promised. That was the key of what, you know, came through to me. And so you have to live your dream. You have to live your passion. You have to do whatever it is that you were meant to do today, which is why I want to go back. I had a question real quick. We'll come back to you for Paul, because I think that's part of your message as well is, you know, because I always tell people the magic and miracles happen in the moment. Those are the little things that we do on a daily basis. But as a life coach, these are the things that you teach people, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really relate with what Mr. Dosha was talking about, too, because sometimes something cataclysmic or painful happens in your life. And for me, when I wrote the first book, Something Happened Today, it was my impetus to start it was I wanted to leave something for my daughters to read so they could see something more interesting about their dad later on, because they were like 4 and 6 years of age when I first started that. But then it kind of blossomed into something else. And it was this idea that, you know, you might be able to lend an ear, sometimes advice, but if giving advice as a life coach or a mentor for me is more like I hear a person's story and then I say, well, here's another parallel story of something that I've seen. And I can pull in other tools like, you know, 360 degree reviews and areas where you can see, well, maybe I've got some things to work on as an individual. But for me, it's seeing that strength that people have. They've all got a story. And like you mentioned, Sharifa, you know, tomorrow's not promised. So you got to take advantage of what you have right now. And I didn't always do that very well. And I think experience has been one of my best teachers in a lot of ways. I wanted to relate to what Steve mentioned earlier too. I mean, it's just, you know, nothing is free. And people can take advantage of you. I've been critiqued on Something Happened Today because they said, hey, your book is kind of like, at first some people might think it's a Pollyanna view. How can you see good in everybody when sometimes you're getting screwed over or you get burned bad? And I have been burned bad at times, but then you take it in, you see how you adapt to it. And then you say, okay, how can I refocus? Because for me, I might be one of the older ones here. I'm not sure, but I might have 20 years left, and I'm thinking maybe more. But how can I refocus and say, well, what can I do with that remaining time? Because it is a precious moment that you have. And I know for myself, you can get set in your ways, and I really want to be able to have some kind of impact with individuals now that I've raised my kids. And my wife and my dog here, they don't need any of my advice. So I can reach outside and try to have an impact with those that may need it more so, especially in a time where I think people are going through a little bit more depression and a little bit more anxiety.
Yes, I definitely agree. I want to go over to Tracy real quick. And what are your thoughts as regards to the conversation we were having with Mr. Dosha and his passion and his dream and starting a whole new career over 40?
That speaks to me. That's never too late. Honestly, I was posting recently, you know, 10 years ago, I think I was still working from home, doing work that I could do from home, and that work that I could found that I could do from home was telemarketing. So I hadn't even thought about public relations. I was doing press releases for 10 years on the social justice side and for organizations that I cared about and my own organization that I'd started, you know, to free the innocent man from death row. So I had learned how to do press releases and get media attention. But in terms of my work, I was just, you know, doing pretty much bottom of the barrel stuff that, you know, I hadn't been to university. I was just doing, you know, odd jobs. And then I stuck on telemarketing because I could do it from home and maintain control of my life and, you know, do other things and have a family and that kind of thing. But so I really started my trajectory in public relations around 42 years old. I'm 50 now. And just recently, I'm, you know, pretty much reached the top of my career. I'm getting international awards. I'm, you know, getting clients that other publicists would be more than happy to have. And, you know, and I didn't go to school for this. So, and then I have another client, one of my amazing clients who I think you're having on the show next week, who's called Mimi Cannabis, we call her, Michelle Parada. And she's 55, she left a 30-year career in hospitality, very successful career in hospitality, and jumped right into the emerging legal cannabis industry. So not only did she do a full pivot at 55, when everyone else is thinking of retiring, but she jumped into not only a new industry, but an industry with people populated by people half her age. And so that's really inspiring. She talks about how I have a seat at the table because I know I deserve to have one. And now she's invited to VIP parties, corporate tables, 56, 57. And everyone told her you could never do it. So there's no such thing as too late. There's no such thing, you know, as too young or too old. Look at Bolu. It's literally a matter of self-confidence, realizing that you can do it and putting that out to the world, that I can do this, and then proving that you can, doing it, being genuine, you know, being consistent, being, and there you go. So absolutely, his story is super inspiring, and especially coming out of that kind of tragedy and that kind of, you know, emotional upheaval to bring some beautiful, you know, something beautiful out of it and to bring art out of it is absolutely amazing. Yeah, I really look forward to hearing that.
Yes, we'll have to get you some of Mr. Doja's music over to you. I want to go over to Steve right quick because earlier we were talking about Mr. Doja and why he made his change. And Paul talked a little bit about his book and his experience. But Steve, what is it for you to be someone who, like you said, and I'll say this gracefully, was on the different side, changed your life around to help people and to be of service to people? How did that, you know, what was that like for you? What was that experience like for you personally?
It's an interesting question because I remember the turning point exactly when I came to that revelation. It was, I saw quite a few of my friends, and this was early on, you know, I was still in my teenage years. I saw, and you know, I was good at what I did. You know, I have no problem admitting that. I was good at what I did.
That's why you're here now helping us, saving the world, yep, okay?
Exactly. And I was getting rewards from it. I was getting rewards from it. So it was quite an interesting lifestyle. But it got to the point where I could see some of my friends and colleagues and people I worked with were getting picked up, were getting caught, were getting things. And I remember that, like I said, that turning point where I realized I'm not the type of person that takes joy in taking advantage of people. That's not who I am. And once that light bulb clicked on and I saw that within me, I said, you know what? I can use the same skill to help the people that these other folks are trying to take advantage of. And when that happened, I was surprised how cleanly and how that my skills translated to make me successful on the good side of the law. So, and I've had quite a bit of just seeing the reaction for people when you educate them on these things and highlight certain things and make them aware of what is really going on. And then them coming up and thanking you for that is quite rewarding. So I've had quite a pleasure doing that.
That has to be, I always consider those things priceless, you know? Yeah. People talk about a lot of the good that I do and help people. And this is what I love to do. This is my passion. I wake up every morning just so I can talk to all of you. But it, to me, it's priceless to be able to speak to people and help people and be able to make introductions that can change their lives. I love it. So I can completely relate. I want to go over to Sir Sanju real quick. Talk a little bit about your journey. When you first started speaking, what came out was just your concern for the community and your you just want to be of service. One of the things that you said, I say all the time, and I laugh when you said it, because I don't advertise. 99% of my business does come from social media, just from networking and interaction. And then that other 1% typically comes from referrals, which happens through social media in one way or another, but it's not through direct marketing, direct advertising. But I found that that has made for more long-term relationships and more partnerships than any other way. What were your thoughts on that, Sandra?
I believe that relationships trump everything, right, at the end of the day. You know, it's funny you have that sign behind you that says focus on the good, because that's really what it comes down to, right? You know, not having advertised, it's not a bad thing. It's, you know, it's worked out that way that our work has been to a point that it focuses and it speaks for itself at the end of the day. And that's what's really important. So even as much as you're getting out of social, honestly, of maybe 100 clients, I picked up maybe 2 off social. But mm-hmm. almost everyone is word of mouth. And, mm-hmm. you know, even if you were to come visit our offices, we don't have signage outside. Like, we're completely, you know, literally underground like that. So I really believe that your work and your ethic and your transparency and authenticity is really what speaks for itself. And you can offer someone, you know, the same service we do for a quarter of the price, but if they aren't necessarily buying on price. And if they have in the past, they'll understand that it's not the price that you bring to the table, it's the value you bring to the table. It's the relationship that you bring to the table and the connections and the offerings that you can bring back to them. You know, it's nice to know that, you know, on any given day, we can pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, can you help us with this? And the answer will be, of course. Right. Not, oh, we got to negotiate this and figure it out. And really giving back to other businesses without expecting back. So, you know, we're the kind of business that will refer outside, but we won't take a referral fee. It's no point. Our caveat is take care of our client, make sure they're serviced to death, make sure they're extremely happy, and no problem. We'll keep sending you people, right? And for me to make a few $100 off that and get bad service still ruins my reputation. So for us, it's an investment back into, you know, other businesses and other people.
Excellent. One of the things that people tune into the Roundtable Talk Show is to learn specific tips, strategies, guidance on marketing strategies that can be implemented in any business. Like we have, again, Mr. Doja over there. He just starting out, 45 years old with a rap career, most likely does, you know, not to knock him, but doesn't, his focus is not in marketing. What are some of the main things that he might need to know to get started?
So for you, Mr., for example, you know, I would focus more on building the presence, your brand and your presence, right? So it's not necessarily about selling albums today. It's about letting people know you exist, letting them know your story, letting them, you know, working with people like Tracy, for example, to get the word out there, to make sure people understand that you're not just literally some guy who's, you know, reminiscing of his childhood and came out with a rap album. You're a gentleman who actually had a purpose and story behind it. And it's something that came back to you. Right. And that's a big difference. It's not a money thing. It's a passion thing. It's a tribute to your brother. It's educating his children on who he was. And I think really focusing on getting that messaging out there is far more important for this album, at least in my opinion. And I'm not really a music sales guy. I think it's really to make people understand that,
exactly.
Right. Is that you are you and you're freaking awesome. Right. And you know, you're there for people, and getting that across through your social media, through your content, through your website, and networking in your case, right, is what I'd recommend to, really online. I don't think it's a LinkedIn kind of thing, but it's more of a, you know, joining meetups and joining forums and joining awesome stuff like what Sharifa does, right, and getting people to understand that you're freaking awesome, right? And like I said, there's a story, and I've always said that, you know, marketing, brand, all of us are nothing without story. So it's really the bringing it back to that fundamental, that making sure that your story is authentic, but it still makes people understand who you are, right? And now, especially, people can see through the BS, right? So if I said, hey, I'm a fighter pilot and I retired yesterday, I'm like, seriously, dude, right? So it's just making people understand that, you know, what you say and put out there, you can actually back up, right? Without having to put your foot in your mouth.
I loved it. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better. I wanted to go because I apologize, but I cannot hear what you were saying, Tracy. You were speaking.
Oh no, I was just saying he's right, because he was saying he's not a music marketer. But I said no, absolutely everything there. It's true, Sandra. Across the board, you work like me, you work with industries across the board, right? And though things are different in terms of the industries, really what it comes out about is amplifying your message, you with the web and the, you know, SEO and all that expertise, and me with using the media. It's all about telling your story.
And it's also timing in your growth, right? It's what stage are you at realistically? I know we all want to send 1 million albums tomorrow, but realistically, where are you in your career and where are you with this and where do you need to get, right? So yes, you don't sell 1 million albums, but you sell your third album, is that 1 millionth album, right? But this process that you set to get there keeps you there forever, right? Same thing with SEO fundamentals, for example. You know, you invest in a guy who's charging you $30 a month and he gets you to number one in 30 days. Google changes the algorithm. Number one, you're blacklisted. Number two, you disappear off the face of the earth. Go donate the money. Why'd you waste it, right? So there's certain fundamentals that you have to invest in and recognize in order to get to the path that you're trying to get to. It's just, unfortunately, people learn it the hard way, right? There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I do want to add to that. It's you know, like he said, it's connecting and relating, and your story resonates with people. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s in LA in Van Nuys. You know, it's what you were talking about, I can relate to personally. You know, I grew up with all that, all the rap and the gangs rap and all that stuff. I still got it on my phone. My Spotify list is a lot of Tupac and Biggie. So the first thing I'm going to do after the show is I'm going to check your music out. But there's a ton of folks out there that your story will relate to if you just keep telling it and telling it and telling it. There's a lot more of people like me out there that the stuff they listen to right now doesn't compare to the stuff we had, you know, in the 90s. So yeah, that's what we want to hear more of.
That's awesome. Thank you, man. And I'm going to say this. From the demographics of the people that actually have streamed and listened to my music, it's all been between the ages of 30 and 50. Mm-hmm. That's my audience. And again, I had a conversation with an 18-year-old kid. I had him listen to it. And the first thing he was like, all your songs sound exactly the same. You have lyrics, you can rap, but everything sounds. And I'm like, do you listen to music nowadays? Everything sounds exactly the same. But my album is a story. It's pretty much, in certain parts of it, goes through my life. In 2017, I had a stroke. And I actually have a song on my album describing that whole situation. It's called That Day. And what I would like to do, you know, as far as the marketing part of what I would like to do, I would love to get with an organization that brings awareness about strokes and have a conversation with them and have them hear my story, know my story, and possibly build a relationship, you know, using that.
Well, that's why you are here on the Roundtable Talk Show, and you are here with Ash Sharifa. And I think it's a lovely idea. I think it's wonderful, but I'm going to put my business consultant hat on for a moment. And what I usually find is if you build it, they will come. I live by that. I believe that. And what happens is most of the time people don't build it, right? So what you want to do is use a portion of your proceeds to be able to help people who are going through the similar situation. So it's easier to put it in place, build what you have, and then make a contribution. And as your contributions increase, I always say work your way up to partnerships, because you're already giving, you're already supporting. I would find the organization that you want to support. I would go straight to their event list and find out what they are already doing and find out ways you can be a part of what you're doing, which puts you on their radar, and it makes it easier for them to incorporate you into what they're doing. That would be my professional opinion for you and my advice, a little free 2 cents right there for what it's worth. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I always love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Tracy.
Again, Lamori Media, if you want to reach me, it's Tracy Lamori PR Media on Instagram. I'm taking a limited number of new clients these days, for real, probably one or two a month.
Just for real.
You've seen how many crazy good clients I've already got that I'm working on. So limited number, and that's no PR spin. I have an amazing project. I won't say no, because I'm all about elevating important, you know, like important. What I mean is important messaging, good voices, great stories. I can't say like you, I can't say no to those great stories. So trying to limit things, but if it's really awesome and it really needs to get out there, happy to talk about it. I also have an upcoming book, Get Repped, Build Your Brand with Effective Public and Media Relations, which has got its ISBN number and its cover and publishers just waiting for me to literally finish all the PR stuff I'm doing and get to finish the last bit of the writing and get it to them. And then it will be out and I'll have a copy to share and tell everybody to go buy if they're sick of listening to me and would rather read it.
So that sounds like you planning on coming back.
Oh, well, all I know for sure is I'll definitely be sending other people, you know, because I got a whack load of clients that need to meet you. But I'd also love to come on the face-to-face to talk about, you know, being an ally and how I think that, because I've been speaking about how I think all businesses now just briefly should be supporting, you know, the biggest human rights movement of our times. And mm-hmm. I've been talking about that as a publicist because people are asking, you know, should businesses comment on issues in general? So I'd love to come back on that show and talk about, you know, what I'm learning about how to be a better ally and how that we, you know, use our platforms to be allies. So I'd love to get into that conversation one day soon.
Absolutely. We're going to come have you back. If we have to pull you and kicking and screaming back, we're going to bring you back to discuss your book because it's your book and we want to hear from you.
Okay.
We have 5 slots scheduled for tomorrow for face-to-face, but I believe I have 1 seat left for July 29th, I believe. Okay. And if not, I'm going to kick somebody out their seat so that I can have you on July 29th. But if you can do July 29th, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll have you on face-to-face. I would also love to have Paul on face-to-face. Paul, what do you have for us?
Well, you know, to address young people in particular, too, it's like I think we all get set in our ways and young voices are demanding change to make the world better. It's so good to hear from the panelists today. I learn a lot from people and it's nice to see it. The idea of being authentic, like you mentioned, Sanju, and having the word of mouth travels. And if that authenticity comes through and you're involved in your community and you're putting back in, good things are going to come to you. I have to say, you know, with technology and all the things we have, it's added some headaches, but it's made our life better. And I hope we continue to listen to one another. I think we got a lot of people out there that won't change their positions and listening to different sides they're not accustomed to. And really looking at ourselves that we're all people, we're in this together. We hear that a lot, but it's so important that we do reach out and try to connect with others. So I appreciate being on the show and being with all of you.
And where can we find your book?
You can find Something Happened Today on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and Profiles in Kindness, the same thing. Yeah, reach out. And if you want a free copy, I know Tracy would say, don't give them away free.
Well, tell Tracy. Tracy was on a call. She didn't hear anything.
Oh, I'm here.
But I do, because it's a matter of giving it back. You give back in the community, some good things come back later. And it's getting the feedback to know that you're making a difference. So, yeah, both of those venues.
Absolutely, yeah. And it amplifies your message.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll definitely go ahead and take a copy, Paul. I'll read it and post it on my social media for you and give you a couple of reviews, make it happen for you.
Awesome. Hey,
thank you.
You're welcome. Steve, what do you have for us?
So I know we just scratched the surface on best practices for staying safe at home during this pandemic and for longer, but there's a ton more of things we could be talking about. Please visit our website, Zypro.com, XYPRO.com. I'm not selling anything through the website. It's just I want to get the word out of what everybody should be doing to protect their digital life from home. Nobody should take your information and do whatever they want with it whenever they want. Without your permission. And we have a lot of trust that whenever we give information to an app or a company, that they're going to do the right thing with it. That's not the case. And I want to make sure that the word is out, that everybody's educated on the types of things they need to be doing to protect their home, protect their families, protect their children, and protect their entire life. Because like Paul said, technology's here. It's not going anywhere. We've got to either embrace it, or if we don't, we're going to be like my 80-year-old mother who doesn't know how to use a cell phone. So you don't want to be that person. So it's getting an understanding of how to properly use it and where that can go. So get on our website, just go into the search bar at zypro.com and look up my name. You'll see the articles where we're talking about best practices. Just apply those. They're very, very simple to do, and they're going to provide a lot of benefit to everybody. Or you know, look for me on Instagram. It's that's what Steve said. Yes, I am that guy. So my handle's that.
I like that at the end, at the very end, there was that shameless plug. I love it. I want to change my name now from Ask Sharifa to That's What Sharifa Said. Like, that's what I want now. I'm going to change my whole brand. You to change my life, Steve. Thank you.
That's what I'm here to do, is influence people. So thank you for letting us be on your show. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Did you find you were a better fit now? Like, did you feel more comfortable?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
I know you were kind of concerned at the beginning. That's what
no,
I'm saying.
I fit in. You know, I can go toe-to-toe with the knight and the author.
They picking on you, Sir Sanju. What do you have for us?
I got nothing. No. First of all, thank you all. Honestly, it's been a lot of fun getting to know you guys and hearing your stories and getting inspired. It's awesome to do that. Thank you, Tracy, for being the awesome person that you are, as always.
Oh, thank you.
And Sharifa, man, the show, it's awesome. I absolutely loved, you know, being able to speak my piece and get people a little more understanding of, you know, what it takes to be online and what it takes to build a good business. Our website is, and don't laugh, it's askusforanything.com. Kept it nice and simple.
Oh, my God, that is so beautiful. Yeah.
So that comes from my dad. His tagline for his old business used to be "Ask us for anything, almost." Mm-hmm. So you know, my tagline is "As long as it's legal." But you know, we won't talk about that. So that's our website. All of our handles are at GNL Media. You know, and I'm looking more for, if people do want to reach out, it's, you know, we love to give free advice. It's what we do. Mm-hmm. So if you have questions, if you're looking for some information, if you're stuck, you know, if you're looking for a connection somewhere, we're happy to assist where we can. And I'll bring it back in conclusion to again, what I mentioned earlier, Sharifa, that sign behind you, focus on the good. And that's all we can do right now. And it's probably the best path forward.
Now we see why you are a knight. That was those gems, those pearls of wisdom that you can't get anywhere else. I'm going to contact you so we can talk more about these business ideas. That's
do
not
it.
What we're
Let's
talk
do
about.
It.
Thank you, Sir Sanju. Yeah, Mr. Doja, what do you have for us?
Well, like our friend Paul here, if for whatever reason you don't have streaming site to listen to my album, you can listen to it free on my website, MrDoja.com.
Nice.
And like you said, it's my biggest thing I took from this, and the biggest thing I can give to this is don't give up. Mm-hmm. There's always a chance that you can make it, and if you don't, you can always say that you tried. Mm-hmm. So not trying, not doing is the biggest mistake most human beings make in this world. It's just not doing it. If it's your passion and your goal to do something, just give it a go. If it doesn't work out, you know, give it another go. If it doesn't work out, you know, just don't stop trying, because eventually you will get that phone call, have that conversation, and that door will open up and, absolutely, you know, you'll be in the situation I'm in.
That's so right.
You know, I started out with my goal just being to record in a real studio, and now I have an album out. So
beautiful.
You know, videos, and you know, I'm doing things that I've only seen on TV, and it's just amazing to me. So
beautiful. I think that is beautiful. And I think one of the things that we forget is that it's all about the journey. And too many people focus on the destination. They focus on they have to be this and they have to be that, you know, and then they also don't give themselves credit for how far they've come, much they've accomplished, you know. And you mentioned that you wanted to be in the studio, in an actual recording studio. You wanted to actually bring your music that you hear in your head and in your spirit. You wanted to bring it to life, and you did that and so much more. And who knows what can happen? That's why I love doing this show. Every time I have the show, there are connections that are made. And so I just want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially have to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you for sharing the show, but don't just watch the show. Please support our guests. Please visit their websites, follow them on social media, see what they're up to, go to their websites, listen to their music, and find a way to make a difference in the world. And if you want to share your story and you're interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifah.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.